Downey City, California, near Los Angeles. Authorities continue to investigate the circumstances surrounding a deadly home invasion robbery in Downey. Police were dispatched to the home after receiving a call from a neighbor who reported that three men were attempting to get into a home. According to the caller, a scuffle broke out near the doorway, which resulted in the resident being pushed to the ground. When officers arrived on the scene, they located one victim, who is deceased. Neighbors described the victim, 59-year-old and longtime Downey realtor Jim Dunopkin, as the solo occupant of the home, who was a very generous and loving white man. They said the victim was active within his church and had no enemies and was loved by many. Police said the home had been ransacked. They have arrested two suspects and say they are searching for a third. The outstanding possible suspect was described as Asian or Pacific Islander, about 20 years old. The lawyer for a 17-year-old Pennsylvania boy, a black teen accused of taking a selfie next to a 16-year-old white teen he had just fatally shot, wants a judge to dismiss a first-degree murder charge. Defense attorney Patrick Tomasi says Maxwell Morton didn't mean to kill the boy. The attorney says that the shooting of Ryan Manigan was an accident. Tomasi says the boys were horsing around with a loaded gun that was in Manigan's house. Morton was also 16. Police say Morton was trying to take a picture of Manigan and the cell phone aimed down the barrel of the gun before pulling the trigger. Prosecutors say Morton told police he pulled the trigger and then took the selfie showing Manigan shot in the face behind him. It doesn't seem like the black kid was too concerned about the death of his supposed white friend, who takes a selfie with friend who just blew his brains out. This was a hateful crime. Louisville, Kentucky. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department has arrested a suspect. Louisville Metro Police say beat two white men, one of them so severely he was eventually placed on life support. According to an arrest warrant, it happened at a White Castle restaurant. Police say 32-year-old Rashawn Townsend and an accomplice, two black men, got into an argument with a man while he was in line to get his food. As the man was leaving, police say Townsend and his accomplice got into a fight with the victim, with Townsend punching him in the face. One of the victim's friends came to his assistance, and he was punched in the face and knocked unconscious. Police say the victim fell to the ground, and Townsend and his accomplice began kicking him in the head. Witnesses called Louisville Metro Police, and police say a woman drove both Townsend and his accomplice away. One of the two men who was assaulted was taken to the university hospital with serious injuries, including a fractured skull and bleeding of the brain. According to police, police say that while in surgery, that man had a stroke. As of Wednesday, January 13th, he was on life support, and it was unclear if he would recover from his injuries. The other victim suffered swelling and bruises to his face. Another vicious black-on-white attack. Philadelphia, 27-year-old blonde white woman, Lauren Lichman, says when she accidentally went past her subway stop on her way to work, she got off at the next stop to head back in a decision that changed her life. Police say Lichman, in a random attack, was shoved onto the L tracks by suspect Kenneth Grimes, a black man, who then pulled a knife and, as she sprawled injured on the tracks, threatened her, yelling, "Kill, kill, kill." Lichman, who suffered a broken collarbone and bruises, said she was lucky and her injuries could have been far worse. Fortunately, no train was approaching and she was able to climb back onto the platform. She also did not contact the electrified third rail that runs along the side of the track. The victim says none of the passengers waiting on the platform helped her from the tracks, and instead of staying to provide statements to arriving officers, they boarded the next train, leaving her alone on the platform. Denver Fire Chief Eric Tade, a white man, was stabbed downtown and was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. A non-white Hispanic woman has been arrested in connection to the stabbing. Tade was stabbed in the early afternoon close to Denver Fire Department Station No. 1. He was in a black, unmarked SUV. Marlene Zayfish Rodriguez, 42, has been arrested in connection with the stabbing. She's being held for investigation of aggravated assault. Final charges will be determined by the Denver District Attorney's Office. Newark, New Jersey. A Seattle man has been indicted on terrorism and murder charges in a shooting that killed a white college student in West Orange, New Jersey. Ali Muhammad Brown was indicted by a grand jury on two counts of terrorism, one count of murder, and other charges in shooting that killed Brendan Trevlin, 19. It was the first murder case in New Jersey in which a defendant was charged with terrorism under state law, prosecutors said. Brown had allegedly said he was motivated by a bloody crusade to punish the U.S. government for its foreign policies. Trevlin, the white teen, was shot and killed as he stopped at a traffic light on his way home. The Muslim man then drove Trevlin's vehicle to an apartment complex where he stole undisclosed items from the victim. Brown described himself to detectives after his New Jersey arrest as a strict Muslim who had become angry with what he described as the U.S. government's role in Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. Brown had earlier been charged with two murders in Seattle. He is also a convicted sex offender, a white teen with a promising future cut short by a black Muslim. Houston. A Houston police officer has been shot in Northeast Houston while attempting to stop a robbery, police said. Officer Jason Rhodes, a white 32-year-old man who was shot in the arm, was taken to the hospital in stable condition. With the bullet still in his arm, Rhodes is in good condition and expected to make a full recovery and have full use of his arm, Houston Police Chief Charles McClellan said during a press conference that Rhodes saw two people just after noon with their faces covered outside a Family Dollar store. The two appeared to be getting ready to rob the store. Rhodes chased the man, and during the pursuit, shots were exchanged, the chief said. The black man, he fell down after he jumped the gate, and he shot the police officer. At least one juvenile was arrested at the scene. The suspect was caught hiding in a shed in a resident's backyard near the Family Dollar, where the incident began. A second suspect, Shelton Harold, was caught by a canine unit in a heavily wooded area. He has a lengthy criminal record dating back to 2008, court records show. He is also a registered sex offender. The ruthless thugs out here that are trying to take property, take things that individuals who work hard and are honest, hardworking people, and they want to take a shortcut in their society and take property that belongs to others, McClellan said. Rhodes did a very good job out there. We're fortunate that he wasn't more seriously injured or possibly killed in this incident. It also highlights the danger that men and women of the HPD face every single day of trying to keep this city safe, another example of thug culture. Louisville, Kentucky. A man accused of murder and robbery has gone back to court to enter a plea. Police say 22-year-old Quinn Chandler, a black man, strangled Carrie Bush, a white man, in his home. That's right, across the street from an elementary school. Witnesses told police they saw the black man take off in a white man's car. They brutally strangled the man, then stole his car and his cell phone. One black man, Chandler, has been charged with murder and robbery, but the other one is still loose. That is the end of this week's Hate Crime Report. Remember that the best protection is to arm yourself, be aware of your surroundings, and stay out of non-white areas. Be safe, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, this is Cora reporting for Watt Pride Radio, KKK Radio, and WhiteResistanceRadio.com.